Goeiemôre almal. No one to share. Let's continue. We're going to be touching on church purpose. And hopefully out of the word we can kind of get a glimpse or just a fresh reminder. Maybe it's nothing new. Maybe it's something that we know, but maybe just a fresh reminder of church purpose. And when I say church, the word is derived from ecclesia. I think it's a Greek word, a called out group of people that come together. A called out group of people that come together. Now, this is not old news for a lot of us. We know that we are the body, that we are the church. And this building is just a place where we as the church can come together, and rightly so. Or if it's this place, or on a Wednesday at a cell group, or on a Sunday at a braai, or however it may look, in whichever shape, way, or form. But it's a called out group of people. And when I mean called out group of people, it is people that said, yes, Lord, I'm following. I'm called out of where I was, and I'm coming into where you want me to be. So a called out group of people, what is the purpose of church? Church purpose. And we're going to be looking at Ephesians 4, 1 to 16. But before we get there, maybe if I could ask, just to be a little bit awkward. I know it's not awkward, but sometimes it can be awkward if you ask one another sitting next to you, what would you say very briefly? What is the church's purpose? What is the purpose of the church? Just very briefly. And if you're brave enough, just share. I think the church, the purpose of the church is this. Yes, John, he's al klarig. Nog geselsie. Teach and train. Okay, teach, train and make more disciples. Wil julle 'n bietjie gesels of wil julle net so half uitskiet? Huh? Uitskiet, skiet uit. I say, what's the purpose of the church? Teach people to live holy lives. To know Jesus and to make him known. Church is for caring. The bride of Christ. To be Jesus here on earth. To support and to encourage and to build up one another. To discipline. Die shambok moet maar uit nou en dan. Body, belong. To do the will of the Holy Spirit. Atsa, mooi, dankie. Light, salt. Sê gou weer. Drink coffee together. Maak net seker dis goeie koffie, hoor. GC. Grondpad koffie, marketing 101, ja. Family. Nog ietsie? To love. To grow towards God. Woord prakties uit te leef. To live the word practically. So that people can see it. Yes. Seek peace with other people. Nog ietsie? Great. Dink ons kan maar nou huis toe gaan. Ons is nou klaar vir die dag. We are finished. Let's quickly turn to Ephesians 4. Now it's a long verse. You cannot see it there. I wondered if you could see it, but you can't see it. And if you can't see it, then you're probably eating all Charles carrots. but turn to your Bible rather. Maybe it's going to be easier to read it from there. Ephesians 4, 1 to 16. So it's long. Bear with me, read with me, but let's hopefully, as we leave here, hopefully we've been encouraged or reminded of our purpose, and not only be reminded of it, how to do it, to be practical. So I think, let's trust the Lord that will be a reality. Okay, from verse 4, it says, unity in the body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. That is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except through he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking in the truth and in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay. So, I think everything that has been said there has just been said here also. So that's a good thing. And it's for me beautiful how diversity in our diverse backgrounds, diverse upbringings, diverse thinking can somehow have the same thread. And it's the Spirit that does that. And it's beautiful. So, just quickly before we go on, just the book of Ephesians, and I like history, so I'm going to share it often when I speak. The book of Ephesians, written by Paul, was a general letter. It wasn't like the Thessalonians that was addressing a certain problem or addressing a certain church because they were doing certain things. It was a book that was written for general. And it focused on two things, belief and behavior. Belief and behavior. So Paul sent out the letter, and it was actually not only addressed to the Ephesians, also in Colossians and all, because he was seeing that there's a bit of split coming, there's a bit of confusion coming, what people believe and how they are behaving as children of God. And so he sent this letter out. So it was a general letter. In the earliest letters, there wasn't any word of Ephesians. And if you go look up the history, it shows that it was sent out for the church in general. Now, it's just an interesting fact whether it's worth anything or not. There in that area, Ephesus is how you say it. In that area, there was one of the largest pagan temples, and it was dedicated to a meteorite that flew out of space, landed there in Ephesus, this big black meteorite, shiny material, covered in little bumps. And the people in that time, they dedicated that. Now, excuse me, but this is just the history. So the little bumps to everyone looked like female breasts. And they dedicated a temple to this, and they thought that it was from the goddess Diana. So now Diana was a goddess, the many-breasted female, and that is where worship of this came in. So anyways, long story short, there was a huge temple there with this massive meteorite covered in bumps, and it was dedicated to the goddess of Diana, the many-breasted female. And when Paul rocked up into the scene, he caused havoc. Because the silversmiths made little idols where people, the tourists came in and they bought the little idols, this goddess with many bumps. And when Paul came in, business suffered greatly because he started addressing belief and behavior. and he got a lot of flack as a result. The first people that gave him a lot of trouble was the silversmiths. Why? Their pocket was touched. Anyway, it's just an interesting fact of the book of Ephesians. And that's one of the reasons why you see why Paul was so persecuted, because he came in and he dressed real stuff. And you see that in the book of Ephesians. Now, go to the next slide there. The book of Ephesians was split into two. You can see it very clearly. Go ask clever people. They'll tell you the same. It's from chapters 1 to 3. It's addressing our relationship with God in Christ. And then from chapters 4 to 6 is our relationship with others in the Lord. And it makes it very clear. It's really beautiful. I have to say, if you go read the whole book of Ephesians, if you're wondering how to believe, first half. If you're wondering how to operate with one another, second half. And it's very, very clear. So in the first half, he talks about how the salvation was worked in, finished work of the cross, Holy Spirit within us, the amazing rescue mission that Jesus did is how to come and save us. And then in the second half, you see how salvation is worked out. Okay, you have been saved. You've been reborn. But now you've got a task. You've got a responsibility. And you've got to be one. You've got to be with one another in a certain way. The belief, the way that we believe, and then the duty we are saved by. In the second half, we are saved for. There's a reason for it. The rescue mission, as I said, and then as a result of being rescued, you see in the second half the constant response of his people. The worship, and as a result of worship, because we see him, know him, love him, experience him, there is an application outside this. And then we see in the first is his sovereignty, where he talks about predestination, and we're not going to get into that now, but how there is a plan, and it's a good plan. And now somehow in the midst of this plan, we each have a plan. And he looked at you before you in your mother's womb, and he said, I've got a plan for you. But we've also got the responsibility to walk in that plan, to respond. So responsibility, his purpose and power, our walk and our warfare. You see that in Ephesians 6, the way that we walk here until he comes. It's a warfare. There's a walk, a one step at a time. And then it talks a lot about the inside, what happens on the inside, and as a result, what happens on the outside. So just interesting facts of Ephesians, or the book of Ephesians, and maybe just to give a little bit of context of this book. But we're only going to be looking at the second part, the relationship with others in the Lord. And I want to get practical here, and hopefully somehow we can just say, okay, but we know what to do with one another when we go out here. And maybe we do, but let it just be a fresh reminder. Okay, so one thing that's interesting, Christianity is the only, I say, religion or belief system or doctrine that works this way around. And so one without the other is not the full gospel. If we believe and we do all this, but we haven't been there, that's not the full gospel. Or if we have just been saved, and I'm saved, I'm reborn, I'm fine, I'm okay, but there's none of that, then it's not the full gospel. And often in the church worldwide, I think often we are struggling we are sticking in the first half, how I am saved. But there's no response, application, responsibility, our walk and our warfare, our salvation worked out until the day that the Lord comes. Most other religions have this other way around. So it's also pretty important to make sure that this is in order. First, being saved, relationship with Christ, him working our salvation in. As a result, something works out. But most religions have it the other way around. You've got to become something before you can be there in heaven. You've got to do all the good works and do all the step-by-step processes before you can be saved. And the Lord said, no, you can't. So I'm going to work it in you. I'm going to work it in you so that you can work it out. Anyway, it's just interesting fact. So, go to the next slide there. So how are we going to get practical with this? We're going to break up this Ephesians 4, 1 to 16 just a little bit. We're going to focus on a few areas, not all of it. We won't have enough time. And hopefully we will have some sort of something to hold on to and to practice. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of your calling that you have received. Now, so often, I think this scripture has been pulled out of context. And we say, okay, but what am I called for? Am I to be a doctor? Am I to be a musician? Am I to be a bank manager, a farmer? And in most of the time, it wasn't this thing, live a life worthy of your calling, wasn't addressing what you are doing. It was addressing who you are while you are doing what you are doing. God had called you to be someone else. Regardless of if you're a mechanic or a bookkeeper or a farmer, he's saying, I'm focusing on character here. I'm not too bothered what you are doing. And if God is calling you to a place, then so be it. But the more important factor that Paul was addressing here, he's saying, live a life worthy of the calling to be a child of God. And throughout the word, we see what it is to be a child of God in the midst of whatever circumstance. But so often we can say, but I don't know what I'm called for. As a child of God, that is the wrong way to speak. You've been called to be a child of God. And throughout the whole Bible, it shows you how to be a child of God. Your character. What you believe. How you are with other people. What we are saying in the midst of groups. And friends and family. So just to put just a little bit of biblical understanding that had not much to do with what am I doing, but more so to do with who am I, my character. Then, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, to be honest with you, I wish it didn't say completely there. Well, I don't know if that's possible. I don't know. Be complete. I can be a little bit humble. I can die a little bit to self now and then, and I can just kind of, I can give him. But to be completely humble, that's what it says there, and it's a challenge. You can go to the next slide, because I just want to focus on these four for now. And we're going to come to the point and hopefully figure out or see clearly what is the purpose of church. But let's find out what was the behavior first. And that's what we're looking at. And that was what Paul addressing in the second half of Ephesians. Belief first, behavior second. And so let's just look at a little bit of behavior. So humility, we've heard these words often. But just to give a little bit of a definition, is to see yourself as God sees you. A great teacher, David Pawson, once said, I can't remember where he was or what the context of the story was, but he said the church was talking bad stories. There was rumors going around about who he is, and he was this pastor, very well-known teacher, incredible teacher, and the congregation was talking stories about him. And he went to the Lord and he said, yeah, man, why? It's not true. They cannot skinner. Hoe kom skinner hulle? And the Lord gave him a very clear answer. He said, you can be very glad they don't know the truth about you. Because if they knew the truth about you and spoke the truth about you, it would be disastrous. And basically just saying, we are broken, we are fragile, we are not perfect, and God knows that. And to see ourselves as that, so not to raise ourselves up in any sort of way and to say, I am broken, I'm not perfect, I'm struggling, and God knows that. And in that sense, humility has a beautiful result is, I need. That's what it says. A humble person will always say, I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you, body. I need you, friends. And a proud, upright, stiff neck will say, I can do it all on my own. I can. But we were not designed for that. We were designed to need. So, humility, to see yourself as God sees you. So when people skinner and talk bad things about you, say, thank God they don't know the truth about me. And walk on. Meekness. So this word has always been a confusing word for me. meekness. I don't use it in my everyday language, so it's not really my sagmoedigheid. If I'm understanding correctly, it's the Afrikaans word, sagmoedigheid. And just a definition of that is not too concerned with your own reputation, rights, and revenge. Nou luister, ek wil baie my reputation so 'n bietjie opbou in een of ander manier. And I think in this world we've also been encouraged and to just you need to build up your reputation as much as possible, wherever as possible, so that others can see you in this way, your reputation. And meekness says, I'm not too bothered about my reputation. Whether I'm doing or what I'm doing, that's fine. I will work hard, and if I got a good reputation as a result, so be it. But I'm not going to strive to build up my own reputation, my rights and my revenge. So in other words, very briefly, not offended. Oh, the end. Not offended. Now, just to quickly remind us, when we look at these things, and we're going to get practical with it now, but Paul was addressing the church, the body, the called out group of people, and he was saying, apply these things with one another. So he was talking about when you come together, this is the behavior. So just remind you, and we need to be this wherever we go, for sure. But he was really just addressing the church. And he was saying, you guys are coming together often. And when you do, these are some of the things that need to be seen. Patience or long-tempered. And then forbearance, bearing with one another. Making allowance for each other's faults. Having grace. Karen shared it this morning. Being generous. Being easy to forgive. You know, I'm very grateful for my wife. She bears a lot with me and my faults. And this is probably one of the most profound things that people can do with one another. One of the most beautiful things that we can do with one another is to be able to say, it's okay. I know there's faults and to bear with one another in that, to be completely loving and ons droog maak in the way that we are with one another. So, this is some of the behaviors. Now, there's many things that God is he's saying, live a life worthy of your calling, and then he says this. So, there's not anything to do with farming, bookkeeping, preaching, teaching, nothing. It's all to do with character. Live a life worthy of your calling. Your calling is you are called apart, away to be a different person, to have different characteristics, to represent something else. Now, how I asked, okay, but I know all these things. I've read it many times. I can try to be humble. I can try to be meek. I can try to be patient. I can't. I just struggle. I just can't do it in my own strength. And so how there is one body, one spirit, just as you have been called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. And then it says there at the top, going back, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. So there's definitely a responsibility. There's an effort that we need to make to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Now, I kind of see it like this. There's different members. I'm one of them. You're one of them. She, he, all is a member. I've got a different background to you. You've got a different culture to me. We are very diverse. And if I look at my family, Noah, he's the oldest. He's a wifsinkie. Alles moet net reg wees. Everything must be in place, on time, in order. Dit moet net reg wees. Ben Lucas, he's a chilled O. He couldn't be bothered. He's a go-with-the-flow kind of character. And so when Ben breaks the rules, he goes black. Blank out. Doesn't smark it. And Ben is only 3, so he doesn't know how to understand that this guy is trying to just do the right thing at the right time, all the time. And these two are extremely diverse. And although we're in the same family, imagine church family. Whoa, diverse is messy. I see it in my home. It's messy, it's real, but it's beautiful. Because diversity also brings in different gifts, different strengths, different perspectives, different heart. But there's got to be some way that there can be a unity in diversity. And the Lord said, there's only one way, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father. So the Holy Spirit in me is the same as the Holy Spirit in you. And I kind of see it as this cement, this bonding agent. It also talks about the bond of peace. It's this bonding agent. And me trying to be nice to you, me trying to be kind to you, that's okay. But that's not the bond that he's talking about here. He says the only way that you can be humble, meek, patient, and bearing with one another is as a result of the bond between me and you. And that bond is the Holy Spirit. There's that only the only thing that is the same in me and the same as you is the one Spirit. So there is a scripture that says, Christ in me is the only hope of glory. There's no other way. I cannot strive to be a better person and try to be a kinder, better body function. No, I can't. I've tried. I can't. But maybe if we realize that the same breakthrough that you had when you experienced his voice, experienced his heart, his love, a breakthrough in whichever area of your life where you were overwhelmed by God. And mine looks very different, but the overwhelmed and experiencing him was the very one same God. The very same one. And the very same one is being experienced in China, in Timbuktu, in New Zealand, in America, where someone there at the moment is being overwhelmed by God because he is God. Whether it is just hearing his voice, experiencing his love, whatever it may be, one Spirit. It's the only thing that can bring unity in a very messy, diverse family. And the messy, diverse family is beautiful. It's good. To be honest with you, I truly want to be a part of a messy family. That's fine for me. But I'm so grateful that the Lord has said, I'm giving you a way. And I'm going to die on the cross so that you can... Anyways, let's carry on. Okay. So, just want to make sure that I'm... So, the other way, obviously, is to know that there is one Spirit, but is to go back and to make sure. Because there's no way that we can have one Spirit if we didn't work out the first part of Ephesians, and that is to be saved and to have His Spirit. And I'm just mentioning for the sake of mentioning, if we have not been in a place of surrender, give over, have the Holy Spirit, His salvation worked in, then salvation cannot be worked out. It just doesn't work that way. So let us make sure we're in that position that we know that we are walking with His Spirit, in the Spirit. Salvation is being worked in, and it's being worked out. You can go to the next slide there. Is there a next slide? Why? Okay. I'm going to read the whole thing, and if you want to go there, it's in Ephesians. Where is it? That's where we just read it. Okay. Anyone got it there? Sorry, I've just lost my place here. Ephesians 4, verse 12, from verse 12, 13. So, and these things were said to equip his people, build up. So let's quickly read it and we'll find out the why. So we've kind of got a brief, we know behavior. We know how to behave as a result of salvation worked in. But why? And this is where we are kind of slowly getting to, the purpose of church. Why? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, gaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, just quickly stop there. I read that to my wife and she said, what does that mean? Ons is ook Afrikaans en is doodreg. But it said the attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's a bunch of big words. And how do they connect together? And what does it really mean? Give it to me in basic form, easy language term. It basically just means being knowing Jesus for who he truly is in his fullness, that measure, and that he is known. Simple as that. So attaining or gaining the whole measure of that fullness of Christ. You know, I thought for long, I kind of thought, yes, is it possible to experience Christ in his fullness while I'm here on earth? Or is it just when I reach him until when he's come back? Because for long, and maybe it is so, I said, there's absolutely no way that I could experience him in his fullness. But there is something being said here that we can. And whether it's the fullness that we can experience here or not, I'm not sure. But the Bible has a word there and it says fullness of Christ, attaining it. So there's a process where somehow, some way, we can attain, we can gain the measure of Christ and the fullness thereof. That's huge and it blows my mind and I can't really grasp it, but that's what it says there. Then you will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming ways. Now, I remember it was a couple of years ago, my friend got married here in Hermanus, and I come from Bosveld kind of terrain. Not Bosveld, but there was no sea close by. So I'm not... I can swim, but a sea swimmer, not so strong. And Hermanus, Onrus, die wereld, that world is it's rough. And these guys, they all come from Hermanus. They went out and they're going deep. I'm thinking, oh, this is, and the waves is crashing. And I want to ride the waves and I want to, you know, Fleers by is my kind of wave situation. It's rustig, there's a couple of waves. But Hermanus was strong and I went out because the guys are going out now. Ek moet nou ook uitgaan. Ek moet nou sterk wees. And I went out there into the sea. And they all that they're saying, yeah, you just have to get over these big waves. Just have to get over. And once you're over it, you'll be fine. I'm thinking over it. Look there. It's deep. There's sharks and there's sea. And it's huge. And to get over it is like no ways. And I didn't get over it. And I was caught in this rough kind of sea constantly, trying to battle and wrestle and sickle. And every time I see, okay, but here one comes and it's like a washing machine. Ek is die mekaar, washing machine. And just as I think, okay, just take a breath, regain your composure here, because you've got to get out there. Thinking, you guys are crazy. And I never got out there, to be honest with you. I just got crashed by waves constantly. And I walked out to sea and sea water dripping everywhere from every hole in my whole body. And I felt I felt like I've been in a washing machine for 5 days. Although it felt good, because you know sea water, when it goes through your system, there's something in that that's beautiful also. But forget about that. I felt like I need to sit down for a bit because this is rough. I felt that my head was spinning. I felt that my body was disorientated. And I was. And this is exactly what's happening in the midst of the church. In a world with many teachings, many voices, many ways, many demands, conform to the pattern of this world. No, be transformed. And so, the why, there's a few here. I don't know. I didn't like that experience of being tossed back and forth by this Hermanus sea. It wasn't fun for me. It wasn't good. And I've experienced what it's like to be tossed back and forth as a child of God in a world that is broken. And so why are we coming together? Why are we humble? Why are we one of them is so that we could become mature. As individuals, not being tossed back and forth. by the winds and the ways of this world. To be equipped for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So that the body of Christ may be built up, so that until. So that until word means that it's ongoing. That it's not just a cool training, let's go through a discipleship course or a nice service. And no, it's an until. Until the body reaches unity in faith. Oh. Now, I've been to a few places and I've seen many denominations. And if it was, to be honest with you, a big desire is just to eliminate all denominations and all these different, so that there could be one faith, because we're all believing in the same thing, but somehow there is not a unity in this faith, because this one is saying that, and she is saying that, and that congregation is saying we need to do it in this way. And it's like, why is it? No. And so therefore, let's come together, equip one another for service, so that the body will be built up, that there will be a unity in faith. No longer infants. I brought something here. Where is it? So you get different phases of children. And when they're young, say 3 to 4 years old, you know, you're the hero. The papa and the mama, you guys are the heroes. They're looking up to you. I've got this thing here. That's my beautiful wife, if you're wondering. And Noah wrote this. And he was at that, where mama and papa's the hero stage phase of life. And it's got this, it's no, Juffrou Sonia, she's not by Oleg, and says, mama say altijd, and then he must write what mama altijd say. So, I must just say this honestly, I didn't bring my one. Because jylle moet nie hoor wat ek sê altijd, jy kan maar nou hoor wat mama altijd sê. You can hear what, so mama sê altijd, jy moet klein bly. Jy moet klein bly. My ma is baie goed met werk, maar ek sê hou daarvan om te draf, hence that. But I want to say that mama sê altyd, jy moet klein bly. And he's in this kind of era where, and obviously it's very cute, it's very oulik, it's adorable and it's precious and it's beautiful. And then they get to a little bit of an older age. And the parents are not the heroes. It becomes the teachers and the coaches. Now, luister, I try to do homework with my child. And nee, 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 papa, Juffrou Sonia het gesê. And I play cricket and I enjoy cricket and I like sport. And if I thought I'd like tennis, I did long ago. I can't play it, but I thought I could. But when Noah plays tennis, I want to help him with his, nee, 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 papa, And the coaches and the teachers is the heroes. And we are just kind of scrap. If I want to teach him how to play a good shot, he says, yeah, papa, coach, any swanny. And then they go over teenagers, they get to teenagers, and they themselves become the heroes. Sorry, teenagers, but just, you know, they, it's not all teenagers, generalization, just in my heart, I don't want to say it's all, but they become heroes of themselves, and it's me, myself, and I mentality, everything's just got to serve me all the time. And then, some people hak fast, they get stuck there. Where me, myself, and I is a reality until one day we are under the ground. But some mature. Understanding that they have got a function, a reason, a why. So that the body can be built up and grows and builds up itself in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. But most parts get stuck in teenage phase. And we don't understand that we are constantly having a function, not only to serve myself, but to build the body up. And Christoph last week shared about serving the body and gave us a kind of a platform. And just if you're not technology or, you know, use technology often, and I'm also YouTube, the Sirius, Shofar Sirius YouTube channel is recording everything. If you don't know, Atta, prison of the Lord. Moiswa. Amen. It's beautiful to be a prisoner of the Lord. It's not all bars and jails and handcuffs. But if you go onto this, if you haven't attended every service, and it's not always possible to attend every service, but if you go and listen to what the Lord has been saying to us, it's been a thread, and a very, very well thought out thread that God is saying to us as a body. And so if you don't listen to every sermon, I encourage you to go. And if you want to make it practical for you, go onto the YouTube channel, Shofar Sirius, say subscribe, and say, please let me know when something comes up. And it's only once a week. This is not a social media platform where we're trying to get 100 million likes and follows and all these. No, we want to hear God speaking to us as a unit. And if we are not here on a Sunday or in a cell on a Wednesday, then somehow, some way, we've got to hear what he's saying to us as a body and not only to me as an individual. And when we start hearing him speak to us as a body, then we can start also functioning as a unit. So just for practical sake, jump onto that Shofar YouTube channel, listen to it, not so that there could be publicity, so that we could hear right as a unit. It's very important, and it's very beautiful. And if you look at it over time, from I've been listening to every single one of them. If I haven't been here, I've been listening. I'm thinking, yo, it is so clear what God is saying to us. It is so clear. And when we hear it, it helps us to respond. Is the working in, I see, I hear you, Lord. Okay, now I can work out. Okay, so where am I? So I highlighted that complicated sentence that my wife doesn't really understand because the English. Because there's still this, so there's a few things that we are seeing. We're seeing how we can be with one another. That's very straightforward, very practical. We're seeing that we can do that only as a result of the Holy Spirit within us, the one Spirit. We're seeing that there is a why, so that the body can be built up, so that we could become mature, so that we could head out our teenage phase, so that we could not be tossed back and forth like Hermana C does with me. But the one greatest thing, and maybe go to the next slide, the one greatest thing is there is a bigger reason why. So these things are there, and that's why. But it's still a little bit self-centered. And I think often I, as an individual, can focus on how I can be built up as part of the church, how I don't need to be tossed back and forth. And that's good. It's there. It's a part of it. It must be. But if I understand correctly in the Word, there's still more. And some doctor terminology here, and I have to put it up. I'm not a doctor, but it's beautiful. This is what the terminology, the language that God is using is body, function of a body. And he says in that other, he says it's the ligaments that is holding us, the members, together. Now, a ligament is a fibrous connective tissue that attaches bone to bone and usually serves to hold structures together and keep them stable. So that's a doctor's words, not my own. But this is the same word that the Lord is using in his Bible, saying, there's a ligament between me and you. There is joints and ligaments between me and you, and the function of it is to keep things stable. Now, what are these ligaments within our body? What are the ligaments between me and you that is keeping things stable? And maybe a question, is things stable? Now, I think we've gone through a time where it's been very unstable. And it's not just COVID, to be honest with you. It's ligaments that have been injured. So I think ligaments, and I hope this is biblical, I hope that this is just a clear picture of, just to create a picture so that we can understand it in a clear way. And oh, we've got a doctor. I should let him speak here. Yeah, I should speak here. No, we've got, so if on a practical level, there's a few ligaments, and I would say this is one of them, but this is a small ligament. Because here we can hear, and we can hear what God is saying. We can worship together. We can hear testimonies. And so Sunday fellowship is definitely one ligament within a body. Cell group, what we call it here, cell or a small group, home church, people coming together at home. I would say that's another ligament where people are coming together and something happens. That's a ligament. Friendship, normal friendship, riding bike together, braaiing together, doing things that is fun together. Friendship in the body context. You love the Lord, I love the Lord, let's get together, let's enjoy. That's another ligament. When we do that well, I remember we had a conference many years ago when I was part of a different organization, and we studied the football team. Now, I'm not a soccer fan at all, but we studied the, was it Spain or Barcelona? I can't remember. But long story short, they came to the point where this team was successful over and over and over and over and over, and no one could beat them for a long period of time. And they try, and the whole world, soccer foundation, people, crazy, try to find out what do they have? What are they doing right? And at the end of the day, the captain, I think it was, he had an interview, and he said, and they asked the same question. He said, no, we are just friends in this team. So I babysit his child, and I drop my child there, and we braai together or barbecue, or we eat together, and we do quite normal things together. And as a result of doing normal things together as friends, there's this beautiful ligament, this bond, this attachment from one member to another. So friendship, I think that's one. Serving others, helping others. So a very practical example is that camp at for Khayelitsha. We had a camp. There was a few of us that went on this camp. And I don't know if you would agree. You know, after that weekend, there was this beautiful bond as a result of us coming together and helping others. However that helping others looks, doesn't matter. But when there is us coming together and putting our focus on others and helping them, this is a beautiful ligament. So that's another ligament. Fun together, suffering together also. Now, me and my wife, there's an incredible ligament together. And it's very strong. It's often injured, but it's very strong. And it's as a result of going through all these things, but also suffering together. It's a reality. And it's a good thing. It's okay. I think it's okay, personally. So, on a practical level, these are the ligaments that we have. And if you think of more, fine. But a ligament is something that is bringing members together. And then when these members are coming together, we've got a way that we can be with one another. Humility, meek. Patient and bearing with one another. And when we come together, let's practice that four, that focus on four. Let's practice that. Let me bear with your faults and please bear with mine. Because I'm going to make more. And I'm going to hear wrong. And I'm going to offend you. And I'm going to say things that, but bear with me. And I'm going to bear with you. So, with these three areas in mind, the behavior, the how, and the why, and four areas, the why, and then the ligaments, the areas that God has given us. And to be honest with you, I couldn't really be bothered how we come together. If it is a Sunday, a Wednesday, a Tuesday, a Monday, friendships, but if it is people that have been called out to come together according to the word church, however that may look, let these things be practiced. And when that is practiced, something beautiful happens. Go to the, what's the next one? Aha, wait, sorry, I missed that. So here we are together now. We are focusing on the ligaments. And Acts 2, I think it's 2, yeah, Acts 2, 42 to 47 is sharing very, very practically what we can do. So we know how we must be, behavior. We know how to do it because of the Spirit within us. We've got a few practical legaments, platforms to come together, cell group, Sunday fellowship, serving together, other people. But then it says there, breaking of the bread, studying of the word, fellowship, and prayer. Pretty straightforward. This is what the early church did, the called out group of people. When they came together, this is what they did. Acts 2:42. They had communion together. They broke bread and had communion. They read the scripture and said, thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you that we can come together. Thank you that we can be saved. Studying of the word, read the Bible together. The most practical way to do it is in a cell group, choose whatever one. Ephesians 4, let you read it at home, come together, what has the Lord said to you? Share it. Fellowship, have fun, be together, and then prayer. One of the greatest ones, I think, is prayer, personally, at the moment. Maybe it's just where I am in my life. When I'm praying together with you, it's beautiful. But then as well as if I'm praying for you and you are not with me, how often do we do that for one another? How often am I praying for you, Albrecht, when I'm not with you? I don't do it often enough. Anyways, so when these things are all in place, the big why is the question. Why do we do it? What is the purpose of church? And parts of the purpose is being built up, not tossed around for sure. But I feel the main purpose, and if I understand the word correctly, is to know Him. To know Him, to know Jesus, and to make Him known. When we function like we have read now, if we function as members of the body like that, there's this beautiful result. What's the next slide there? I can't remember what the next slide is. Jesus is seen and known in a beautiful context. Not only for me personally, when I function in body, I experience Him, I see Him, I grow close to Him, intimate with Him. When I study the Word personally or have quiet time alone with Him, not only with the focus that this is for me, myself, and I, so that I can... No, that's not possible. Because anyways, a head with a thumb... Can you just kind of picture this picture? Just imagine a head. And on the neck of the head, there's just this finger that's hanging out. That's weird. Doesn't work that way. And I'm just a member. So somewhere, the full picture of a body is a body, is many members. So when I study the word, when I worship, when I whatever, I need to understand, okay, I'm doing this, but it is because of the body. So that I can bring it into the body. So that as we are functioning as a body, He will be seen. He will be known by me personally, but also the world that needs Him. And so this is why there is church. Is so that our Jesus can be known. So that He can be seen. So that we can walk with Him intimately, grow up, get out of that teenage phase. Teenagers, please hear my heart. I'm not attacking you. You guys are amazing. And you're not, you hear my heart. But where our King would be known for who He is. There's a picture that has been painted, and it's not always the King that I know in my word. And I sometimes think we have an individualistic thinking when we're doing this, and there's no other way that our head can be known other than through body. There's no other way. We can experience Him on an intimate level, for sure. We grow intimately, for sure. But for Him to be experienced in that word fullness, attaining the fullness of the measure of Christ, according to this, it can only be done when we function as body, where each part does what he should do. And when we get together, we are humble, We are meek. We are bearing with one another in our messy, diverse family, but knowing that we have one spirit. This is the reason why, I believe. And go back to that focus on four, please, Ilse, the humility, meekness. Something that was really strong on my heart when I was preparing this and I was asking the Lord, should I share, should I leave it, should I not? One of the greatest things that is injuring a ligament, a coming together, relationships within the body. And maybe there's many, but something that's strong on my heart is being offended. And if we are sitting in a position today where somewhere, somehow, we have been hurt or offended within the body, within our church, the only way is to deal with it, with the body. And just as a ligament needs to be exercised, it needs to be dealt with, there needs to be a recovery process, there needs to be a time, but if you just leave it, it's disastrous. There needs to be physiotherapy, if I can put it that way. And we need to look at, how have I been offended? Because something, when we're coming together, it's just, ah. And I know that. I've experienced that. But it needs to be dealt with. And if in any way, shape, or form, you are sitting here and there's an offense in your heart or a hurt in your heart or a something in your heart towards another member in the body because of something that is said, not done, whatever it may be, but it's sitting here, please, let us get physiotherapy. Let us heal this injury so that we can come together in these four ways, behavior, so that we can function, so that our King will be known in our hearts, but also in this broken world. This is the only way. There's not another way for Jesus to be known. It's through the body. So, I think the one thing is go back in yourselves or go in your quiet time. Ask the Lord, well, is there a way that I've been hurt or is there something in my heart? And just on a practical level, if it's something that you cannot go to that person and deal directly with, call someone in. Call another part of the body that is emotionally not attached to your hurt and say, please can you come and help us? This and this is between us and we are experiencing a ligament that is injured here, a connection that is injured here. Can you please help us so that it will be healed, so that you could be set free, but more importantly, so that the body can represent a true King for who he truly is, Jesus. So I urge you to be serious about the offense that is possibly in your heart and to let's seek a physiotherapy moment of being joined together. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to, at the end of this race here on earth, we really want to hear you saying thank you. We want to hear that, thank you, my faithful servant, faithful body. And thank you that we don't have to rely on our own strength, but that you've given your one spirit, your one faith, your one way, so that we could function as a body, so that we could be humble, meek, patient, and bearing with one another in the midst of where we're getting together. Help us to be practical with that, Lord. Help us not to miss these opportunities of coming together, because this is the only place that we can be built up. This is the only place where we can find maturity. We will not find maturity in our own lonely, quiet room, although we need that also. But help us to grab every opportunity to come together as a body, as members, and to practice what you're saying here in Ephesians, Lord. I pray for every individual that if there is offense or hurt, I pray that there will be an incredible courage and boldness to say, I'm going to deal with this. I want to reconnect. I want this injury to be healed because I want to be part of a bigger picture, and that is Jesus known in my own heart, but also in this world, in whichever way. And Lord, I pray for all of us this morning that we will be able to live a life worthy of our calling, being children of God, the way that you have called us, the way that you have shown us, so that we can reflect, represent, and be a fragrance, the light and the salt in this world that needs it so desperately. Help us with the grace upon grace as we step out of here, that when we come together, we will be excited to come together, excited to break bread together, excited to study the word, to pray for one another, and to have fellowship. And then help us, Lord, to work out that salvation in a world that needs it, to walk out here and to serve the body and those who are not yet in the body, but that you are calling to the body. Help us to have a mature understanding in that, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace upon grace. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy, that in the midst of persecution, we can still come together and worship. We can still share your word and pray together. I pray that we will not take it for granted. Amen.